And now, your go-to source for year-round fantasy hockey advice, DFS and betting coverage. This is NHL Fantasy on Ice, presented by Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL.
What a first round it was. Pete Jensen and Nick Alberga back with you. NHL Fantasy on Ice, delivered, of course, by our good friends over at Skip. Nick, how about these upsets, man? The fallout and everything with the whole betting landscape. We're going to get to it all today. What's up, man?
Not too much, Pete. My jaw is still on the floor. And don't forget, Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL. We have to go over everything. We have to get set for round two. And we brought in the best for today's show. It's Michael Leboff of the Action Network. What's the best way to describe the first round, what you witnessed, Leboff?
Yeah, it was chaotic. And you know, I think it was coming. It felt like around most series, like game fives or sixes, if you could have beat the book to that chaos. And Nick Martin and I were talking about this on Line Change, our hockey podcast, that, you know, if you sense that kind of chaos and know things are going to open up and you're right, like you can get paid off. And that's what we're looking at. Like if you were someone who started to bet into Seattle or, you know, Seattle's Conn Smythe or Florida Conn Smythe, stuff like that, you're looking good. Even, you know, Maple Leaf stuff with their path opening up a little bit, Devils as well. Like you're sitting pretty. So it's always, you deserve a pat on the back if you saw these coming, but it's always better to kind of put your money where your mouth is because you can get paid off real handsomely. And I will see if it can continue in round two.
Can you guys be honest, first and foremost, Pete, we'll start with you. How did you do in your first round bracket? Mine was just awful, man. 4-8.
Yeah, I mean, it was not pretty. I think I had 3 correct. 2 of my final 4, still Edmonton and Dallas, looking pretty good right now. I feel like those two teams are on a collision course in the Western Conference bracket, as predicted. But the East, like we were saying all year, Mike, is just a complete unpredictable situation where, you know, you knew each matchup could potentially go either way. But when you look at what happened in the Florida Panthers-Bruins series, obviously Bergeron missed the first few games. You know, he was dealing with an injury. We didn't know if Allmark was dealing with an injury. Turns out he was for most of the series. Krejci missed a few games, and Sam Bennett came back on the other side. So really, things evened out early in that series. But then, I mean, the Florida Panthers were still staring at a 3-1 series deficit. What went right for Florida, and can it translate to the next round?
Yeah, what went right for Florida is that, you know, it was playoff hockey, and when you're looking at a best of 7 series before the series starts, you kind of just assume, because you can't predict weirdness, right? Like nobody could have thought that Patrice Bergeron would miss the first few games, and Allmark would be dealing with a few things and stuff, you know, just situations like that, or like Eric Chernak, like in the Lightning Leaf series, nobody, you can't predict that. Oh, the Lightning are going to lose one of their most important players in game one. But that stuff happens. And that's why it's always better in these situations in the Stanley Cup playoffs before the series starts to kind of just account for that, to make sure before you just lay -300 with a favorite in the series because they are, you know, historically good, to think, well, if this goes wrong for them, how susceptible are they, especially to a dangerous team like Florida? And I find it funny that I know they came back from 3-1, but people were talking about how one of the all-time upsets in sports and stuff. And it was shocking, sure. But if you look at the odds pre-series, they were +250. So if we're going to call the Panthers beating the Bruins in terms of like betting upsets, one of the all-time shockers, then we got to start calling every Arizona Coyotes win over like the Dallas Stars and Colorado Avalanche over the past two years all-time shockers as well, because they'd have the same odds. But that's not to put down what the Panthers did. I thought they were wholly impressive. And I think that they do have some things, some stylistic concerns that they can give Toronto here, and they are alive, and the market's showing them some respect. Like Florida is right around, you know, a little bit of a bigger underdog than Tampa Bay was against Toronto. And I think that's probably fair. The line looks about right, but I think there's ways to bet into Florida here. And we could start with my favorite play that's still left on the board, which is you could still get Matthew Tkachuk to win Conn Smythe at 50-1 out there. If you're going to bet Florida to win this series, I would forego that and just bet Tkachuk. He is on another level. I think he's maybe been the best player in the playoffs. I think I would say it's actually Draisaitl, but at least in the Eastern Conference bracket, it's probably Tkachuk. And if Florida does upset Toronto and makes a run, it's very unlikely that Matthew Tkachuk isn't the main factor here. And the media loves him. If he can lead them to something special here, he's going to be the Conn Smythe winner in all likelihood.
You got to love the sleeper looks. And I think the fascination too with the first round and the top point getters, and you look and it's Roope Hintz, Pete. I mean, the Dallas Stars have been an impeccable story in general. Jake Ottinger was great. I thought they did a great job of taking care of business. Granted, we know what Minnesota does. They make the playoffs. They lose in the first round, I think, in 7 of the past 8 years. But I thought it was a very professional effort by the Dallas Stars. That top line came to play, and Roope Hintz really under the radar, eh, Pete?
Absolutely. But the problem with Dallas, if you're looking at Conn Smythe futures, is there's Ottinger. There's still Robertson, who is better than a point per game in the first round, and Hintz. So it's kind of hard to dissect and pinpoint, Mike, you know, who would win the Conn Smythe if Dallas does go all the way. I think we know they're capable of something like that. And a lot of the other teams out there too. I mean, Connor McDavid, as much as we were saying in the pre-playoff show, right? Like that he's the clear-cut guy if they win. I mean, Draisaitl scored more points than him. And in the past, right, even with Pittsburgh, like we've seen Malkin, right? We've seen other guys from great teams win Conn Smythes or MVPs in their careers. So, you know, not to say it's going to happen, but there is a window for it to happen. And I feel like if you look across the league of the 8 remaining teams, you could pinpoint, okay, if Carolina wins the cup, it's probably going to be Sebastian Aho. If Florida wins the cup, it's probably going to be Matthew Tkachuk. And I guess maybe for Seattle, Grubauer, I don't know about that one. I'm not touching a Seattle Conn Smythe future, even if I could bet. But I feel like for Carolina and Florida, it's pretty, you know, it's pretty much identified at this point.
Yeah, I actually think Grubauer is interesting, and he was 200-1 a couple of games ago. Of course, they were still an underdog to advance in that series when he was, but that Seattle team is spreads everything out so well that it's hard to imagine. Yes, anyone could get hot. Sure, like Eli Tolvanen can get red hot in the series, and you'd be like, oh man, you know, but if they are to go far, especially going up against you know, who they're seeing next round with Jake Ottinger and the other end, like Grubauer is going to have to be just as good as he was against Colorado. And all of a sudden, if they do get through that, they weathered Dallas here, then he's going to be, you know, talked about a lot. So I think, you know, if you could still find him at like around that 100-1 number, it's worth it, especially if you're someone who's going to bet Seattle. I would go with the Grubauer route there. And I think your point on Dallas is spot on, where that is probably the one team I would not go near with your Conn Smythe betting strategy. Cause man, I've got no idea. Like who right now you'd say, yeah, it's probably Hintz with that series he had, but Ottinger was so good, and Ottinger is probably like the likeliest of the group, but Jason Robertson, what did he have during the regular season? That like scoring streak of 12 games or whatever it was.
It was a lot.
Yeah. And so he can just do that, and all of a sudden everyone will say it'll be Robertson. So that's one team I would stick to the team futures with Dallas if you're interested in that. But I do like the market Nick brought up in you know, most goals or most points in the series. And there's a few different strategies, like Leafs and Panthers. There's a couple that I like, and there's one that's 300-1 out there that I think is absolutely worth a $5 bet, which is Nick Cousins. Now, Nick Cousins doesn't score much. He didn't score in the last series, but he's playing on that second line with Tkachuk and Bennett. Like, that line has been flying. Let's just say, you know, it's unlikely, but Florida stomps Toronto. Let's say they win in 5. Maybe Cousins has a big game in there. You're asking for a parlay of a lot of things to happen, but he's 300-1 and he's playing on the second line and he's an effective player. So I think that he's a little bit of a fun long shot that won't win. But if he does, like all of a sudden, you know, you're having a great day. I think Bennett too, he's around 25-1 at most places, is interesting there. And of the Leafs, like Morgan Riley's 300-1. So in a short series, if he has 2 goals, 1 game and a couple other, like, you never know.
The problem, Nick, is that there's just going to be so much scoring in that Toronto-Florida series, right? You would expect some of the bigger names to probably get it done. At least that's the way I look at things. But maybe you sprinkle on Carter Verhaeghe a little bit, point per game player. with the Florida Panthers in the postseason in his career with all the big goals. What, he's got like 3 overtime goals and 5 game winning goals in his Panthers playoff career. I mean, what an unbelievable story. And then when you look at just the goaltending or lack thereof, at least in terms of efficiency, right? The 2 worst teams in team save percentage in the first round. Florida's the worst. Bobrovsky went 3-1. We'll give him some credit. He's pulled off multiple historic upsets in his career. But also on the other side, Samsonov, you know, a little shaky over the course of the regular season. I think he's exceeded expectations, but I think those are going to be some overs in that series.
Yeah, that was the one angle I was going to bring up that I will be playing at least early on in the series is the over 6.5. I believe I saw it at -120 to start. I just think there's going to be a lot of offense, and I think there's been a weight lifted off both of these teams, right? I think they're going to play a bit more freely. Florida exercised a bit of demons from the last couple of years. They take down maybe the best team in regular season history. The Toronto Maple Leafs win a series for the first time in 19 seasons. And I like the look with Carter Verhaeghe too. Like, you can't underestimate, I should say, the revenge narrative, a former Toronto Maple Leaf organizational piece. Also somebody from the area, his dad's a fire chief in Toronto. Like, there's reasons why Carter Verhaeghe would be a really, really good play. And he always plays Toronto strong. So I like that look quite a bit. Of note, I would just bring up too, in that series, the Panthers surrendered 11 power play goals in the first round. So I think if you're looking to extract some juice, you look at some point props when it comes to the Maple Leafs. But yeah, Leboff, I'm with you guys here. I expect a lot of offense in this series.
Yeah, it makes it a good series for if you like playing like same game parlays to just build a lottery ticket. Like, try to get 4 anytime goal scorers right, because you could, you know, it could be a 6-4 game, and if you get, you know, lucky, you're looking at a big payout. So I think Florida is live in the series. I think the price in terms of the game by game market right now, the way it's looking for game one and the series price looks right. Don't have much betting interest there. But there's definitely ways to attack this series, whether it's Tkachuk, whether it's building these same game parlays with, you know, a couple of the big boys like Nylander and Matthews, and then, you know, Tkachuk or Verhaeghe from the Panther side, or Bennett, and then throwing in a long shot. Someone like Brandon Montour will be around 4-1 to score every game. Riley will be in that range. Someone like, you know, Etu Lusterainen, and like find one long shot just to add some juice to your ticket there. Like you're, you know, almost like you're betting a horse race and you're building like an exact that you want at least one price in there. And you could look at it at a really nice payday. So that's how I'm attacking the series, is just lean into the fact that there should be a lot of scoring. And if you can get it right, who shows up on the score sheet, you'll be looking at a very nice evening.
I like that series too, from an in-game look too. Like I could forecast a lot of lead changes, swings where it's like 4-1 and a team comes back. I just don't trust either team defensively right now. Speaking of which, New Jersey and the Carolina Hurricanes. And I was sort of stunned, I won't lie, to see the Devils open up as underdogs in this series, considering what we just saw, who they beat, and Carolina is really, really banged up. So maybe just your initial impressions of that, Leboff. And Akira Schmid, can I, you know, open you up on a conversation about Akira Schmid for a Conn Smythe over here?
Yeah, I wonder if he's the guy, like, right now. If but the Devils are, I guess, like the Stars a little bit, where Jack Hughes could just go off, and you're then wondering about that ticket. I wouldn't call Schmid a surefire thing if they do advance. I think there's also a chance we see Vitek Vanacek play a couple more games in the playoffs, as if you know, the rookie struggles maybe once or twice in the series. But yeah, I thought it was nuts that they opened as an underdog. Obviously the Devils took some money and they've now shortened to a favorite for the series. And this is one where I think Carolina stylistically gives New Jersey a little bit of an issue. I think New Jersey is deserving to be the favorite even without home ice. You mentioned it, that the Hurricanes injuries are a big deal, especially for a team that's already lacking for scoring. But they do such a good job of just slowing teams down in the neutral zone and keeping the the play in front of them, being in the right spot, managing the puck, winning 50-50 battles, stuff like that, stuff that the Devils really thrive on. The Devils are so good at, you know, if there is like a 50-50 battle, you'll just see, you know, Hughes or Brad book it to the other end of the ice because they're thinking, if my guy wins this, we got a 2-on-1 coming. And the Hurricanes are so good at kind of snuffing those things out. So stylistically, I think the Devils have some issues here. I do think they're the more likely winner. I don't think it's, I know they look so impressive in a game seven and the you know, four or five games to close out that series, game six aside. But I do think that it, you might want to just take a deep breath before you just think Devils are automatic here. And in terms of how the this series kind of is like the opposite of Toronto and Florida in terms of those most goals or most points in the series market, I think scoring could be at a premium here. I think Stefan Nason is interesting, 28-1 to lead the series in scoring. He had a couple against the Islanders. One of them, of course, the Islander Sebastian Aho foul balled into his own net from the blue line. But he's someone who the Hurricanes are going to rely on if their power play continues to perform well. He's part of, he'll be part of that reason. As for the Devils, like Timo Meier to me is, what did he have? Almost 30 shots in that series without scoring. As long as he's okay, I know he
Truba won.
Yeah. We'll see if you'll see if he's going to be like A-okay for game one. He did come back to the bench, but in terms of like an anytime goal scorer, I think Meier will pay off more often than not in the series with the way he's getting the puck to the net. And I mean, one of them's going to go in for him. So those are a couple I like. You know, I think Stefan Nason and Meier on a, I don't think Meier at +650 is worth a bet to lead the series in goals, but on a game to game basis, he's someone to either build parlays around or target.
Right. Meyer's ceiling is so high when he's playing that he can afford to have a couple of unlucky droughts and he still scored a career high 40 goals this season, split of course between the Sharks and the Devils, but no points in the series. If he's healthy, you would certainly expect an uptick, like you said. But yeah, to kind of back up your theory, Mike, about some of these random guys with good exposure, a great example from the first round was Erik Haula, right? Led the Devils in goals and points more than even his line mate Jack Hughes. But of course, he had the ripple effect of playing with him at even strength. And that's the type of thing we can look at. I know you were talking up Pallad in round one. I thought he made one of the biggest individual efforts of any player in the first round to, you know, on the 1-on-2 to take the puck away from those two Rangers and, you know, set up the first goal in game seven. That made that, you know, acquisition in the offseason worth every penny for New Jersey. And Howell is another guy that, you know, has been doing it at even strength and on the power play. And Seattle is one of those teams, you know, just to look at a team that's super deep. And especially if you're looking at a stingy series against Dallas, I mean, I feel like a guy like Daniel Sprong, let's say, could lead that series in goals very easily. Or Oliver Bjorkstrand, we saw a sense of it in game seven, right, Nick? I mean, the Seattle Kraken, we knew they were deeper than the Colorado Avalanche at the surface. Then take Nichushkin out for the second half of the series, Cale Makar out for a single game, and all of a sudden they upset the defending champs. The sea is very deep out in Seattle.
Very well said, not to mention the whole Jared McCann thing. Like, it really is scoring by committee with the Seattle team, and that's why we've been talking about it for the last couple minutes, how it's hard to differentiate who could potentially win a Conn Smythe if the Kraken go on a crazy run here, right? Do you start in between the pipes? You go with a guy like Bjorkstrand? They love to spread the wealth. The other thing I would look at from the Kraken point of view, they scored the first goal in all seven games against the Colorado Avalanche. But I do think there's value across that roster. You just don't know what you're going to get on a nightly basis. And I think it causes a matchup nightmare for the opposition because there's depth up and down that roster. But I mean, to that point, Leboff, I am targeting this series, Dallas and Seattle, as an under in general. Like, I have two series where I'm looking at the over. That's Vegas and Edmonton, Toronto and Florida. And the other two, Carolina and Jersey, Dallas and Seattle, I've sort of looked at the under and said I'm quantifying those as the under type series. You see it that way?
Yeah, I think on the surface, I think you'll see the under take a lot of money in both of these series, and we could see maybe a five if New Jersey and Carolina gets to game six or seven, we could see a five total. But I think you're right there, and I think that the Seattle point is correct too, where this is a team where, because they spread out scoring, if they do end up winning this series, and especially if they do it in style, maybe 4-2 or 4-1, it's unlikely, but hey, it can happen. You'll want some exposure on a player. Like, I think Sprong is a good shout. I don't hate like a Ryan Donato type. You just don't know with Seattle. Donato's 30-1-ish. I mean, even Matty Beniers he's 15-1 to lead the series in scoring. And that I think is long enough to be interesting as well. I mean, if you want to get really further down the board, a play on like Vince Dunn, who was quiet in the first round, could be interesting too. But yeah, that's I think the Stars have kind of proven me wrong. I always knew that this was a good team, or thought it was a good team, but I didn't think that they were as good as some people. I know Pete's been really high on them and has been correct. Like I was a little lower on them and starting to change my tune here. And of course, like them not getting Colorado is probably a big deal here, because like you said, like the advantages that Seattle had in that round one matchup with Colorado showed. And that's why I always say, once you get to the playoffs, you got to just put the computer down a little bit and take out the pencil and start handicapping in a more traditional sense, like a boxing match, and say, all right, how can this team beat this team, even if they are the underdog? And with that one, it was just the depth. Like the Avalanche were held to zero goals from their bottom six. I don't see that happening with Dallas. I think there's some dangerous players down the lineup here. So I don't think that this matchup is particularly great for Seattle, but because of the score by committee approach working right now, they if they do it, like you want to have at least like some exposure to a long shot or two, whether it's a Grubauer, you know, Conn Smythe, or one of the players we mentioned to lead the series in goal scoring.
It is cliche to talk about, but special teams are going to play a factor in every series. And I think of note, Dallas scored 9 power play goals in the first round against the Minnesota Wild. So that's another thing I would look at. Pete, got to get your thoughts on Edmonton and Vegas. How do you think Vegas matchups against Edmonton? Is Eichel versus McDavid still a storyline for you? I'm looking forward to that. And Laurent Boissois, man, I sort of ragged on this guy going into the Stanley Cup playoffs, pulls out a 2.42 and 915. Will that hold up against the powerful Oilers?
I mean, you look at some of the Oilers' numbers in the regular season against Vegas. I know Stone only played one of those games and scored 2 goals. By the way, Mark Stone, I mean, maybe one of the most valuable players to his team, 8 points in 5 games in the first round series, you know, against Winnipeg, who was banged up. But still, I mean, when he returned, we did our shows, right? And then we found out after the fact that Stone was returning. And yeah, the injuries played a part, but Mark Stone really, you know, changed the course of that entire series from the very beginning. But yeah, when you look at Edmonton, I feel like they're on track for a very deep run here. I mean, you know, we saw Campbell come in and spell them some relief. I thought that was a good sign. They're probably going to have to turn to him again this postseason at some point if Stuart Skinner falters. But yeah, Nugent Hopkins, 9 points in 4 games in the regular season against Vegas. This is not a great matchup for the Golden Knights. We weren't that high on them pre-playoffs, and I've warmed up to them, but I think Edmonton advances here, and it might be a short series. I think there's that chance. So to answer your question, I don't think it's a good matchup for Vegas.
Yeah, it does feel like if you took all 8 first round matchups and you looked at the went series by series, I think you'd say that Edmonton's performance was, I think, the most impressive, because not only did they face some big time adversity going down 2-1, 2-1, and then 3-0 in game 4, but then they, from that moment on, and yeah, they caught a break with a couple calls, but they just did not let up after that and just completely put that series on their terms. And I think that this is a situation where we could see that happen again, where I liked the angle of Edmonton to win behind pre-series against Los Angeles. I think that's another interesting one, whether you do it before the series starts or you wait to see how the first 2 or 3 games shake out. I think Edmonton at some point will just have enough runway to run away with this thing. The goaltending, who knows with Brossoit, man. I mean, he's had some of these flashes before, but he's also had some, you know, some struggles and has struggled to stay healthy. But I think the Mark Stone impact definitely helps, you know, an absolute ton. But there's, it's really hard to find enough paths to success for Vegas here. And I think that Edmonton on a game by game basis is a team that I'm going to be betting. I don't see too much in value in the other markets related to the series, because I'm just sick of trying to beat Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl with you know, MVP bets and stuff like that, or Rocket Richard bets. So I'll just wave the white flag against them and maybe just target some anytime goal scorers, like, you know, Ryan McLeod, I think, is always a good price before games. Clint Costin was pretty good in that first round too, and will be a decent price. Evan Bouchard as well. Like I would look at those guys for Edmonton on a game by game basis for an anytime goal scorer. And I also think that this is a series where you can, even let's say Edmonton falls 1-0 in game one, I still think like betting them -1.5 to win this 1.5 games to win the series is interesting too. Cause if they do get going, you can just see them running away with four straight wins. So I would just never count Edmonton out of the series. That's my strategy in this best of seven.
I mean, you can make the argument, Nick, that Evan Bouchard is the most potent defenseman left in the whole league postseason, right? Who's up there with him? Brandon Montour has been maybe the breakout player of the whole season. Miro Heiskanen has been a stud, but Makar's out, Fox is out, McAvoy's out, right? Morgan Riley, I guess, in the conversation, as well as Dougie Hamilton. They all have that type of ceiling to lead the rest of the postseason at the defenseman position. But I think, you know, not necessarily from a Conn Smythe standpoint, we've seen some defensemen win it with Makar and Victor Hedman in recent years, but I think we need to talk about some of the ceilings at this position. And Bouchard with 10 points in 6 games in the first round, you know, definitely reaping the rewards of being on power play one, right?
Yeah, let's not forget, he was a player we highlighted going into the Stanley Cup playoffs in our round one preview. Watch out for contract year Evan Bouchard, and here he is, man. Like, the guy's just been putting up point after point after point ever since pretty much Tyson Berry was dealt to the Nashville Predators at the trade deadline. So I love that look. Power play point, assists, the shot prop, like everything Evan Bouchard right now, not just because he's from my hometown of Oakville, Ontario, but he's really, really producing here. So I love that look. Love Evander Kane as well. Anytime goals, those have been hitting like crazy since he pretty much joined the Edmonton Oilers, at least in the Stanley Cup playoffs. And I'm really, really looking forward to that series, especially special teams wise. 9 power play goals for the Edmonton Oilers in the first round. So definitely some looks. I got to ask you, Liboff, it's been 30 years since a Canadian team last won the Stanley Cup. There are 2 remaining out of the 8 here in the field. And the betting favorites right now, the Leafs at +280 last I looked, Edmonton at +400. What are the chances Canada finally gets a cup this year?
Yeah, I think it's got to be, you know, the best chance they've had in a long time. And I think that both teams deserve their status to be the favorite in their respective conferences. It's still more likely than not that we don't see one of them win it, according to the odds, right? Like, you know, you're looking at like a 70% chance that we don't, depending on where you're looking. And, but I'm this Oilers team, I really do think is looking and trending up. And as long as they continue to stay healthy and get breaks, they remain really interesting to me just from a, you know, on a game by game basis and long term. So I mean I think this could be it. I know you guys are obsessed with that. I can't really wrap my mind around why, you know, someone in Vancouver would care that another Canadian team would win the Stanley Cup. I'd be personally pissed, but you guys seem to be all obsessed about
it.
This looks like your best chance in a bit here.
I mean, they might play each other, right? There's a real chance that could happen. When we look at, you know, futures from that standpoint, how does your Stanley Cup final matchup or potential matchup, you know, stance change? Because a lot of us had Boston in the final, you know, so if you were going to predict Dallas or Edmonton, probably most likely in the West, and then Toronto or maybe someone else in the East. I think there's a case, honestly, after what I saw last night in game 7, I think that you can make the case that the New Jersey Devils, especially if they shored up their goaltending with Schmid, I mean, with a .950 save percentage against a team of the caliber offensively of the New York Rangers. I mean, what's stopping Lindy Ruff from winning the first Stanley Cup of his illustrious career? I thought he made some incredible tweaks. I mean, we all thought he was going to play Luke Hughes. He didn't. I thought that might come back to bite him, but it didn't matter. And then switching to Akira Schmid in game three, I mean, none of us probably would have done that. I wouldn't have done that. I mean, I give a lot of credit to Lindy Ruff, and I think the Devils' ceiling is pretty high, you know, with Jack Hughes, Nico Hischier down the middle, and Dougie Hamilton, and maybe they do play Luke Hughes at some point the rest of the postseason. I think they're going to beat Carolina. And then if the other series goes seven or, you know, deep, I think that could go seven. Those teams could beat each other up a little bit. And then all of a sudden the New Jersey Devils could be lurking in the conference final.
It's amazing. We have this conversation right now. The Devils have the third lowest odds to win the Stanley Cup at plus 500. It really has been a remarkable season for this team. I don't know for you guys, they really weren't on my radar to take that significant jump this year, just because of how many good teams I thought were in the Metro Division. If you do remember early in the season, Devils fans were calling for the head of Lindy Ruff, and here we are, round two, and it's New Jersey and the Carolina Hurricanes. I think if you're looking for value, Leboff, I still can't get past the Dallas Stars at plus 700. I just love the structure of that team. Really like the back end. They got the goaltender. Like, I'm even chuckling looking at the eight teams remaining, that who has the most solidified goaltender by far? It's Jake Oettinger. Like, he is the full-fledged number one. Every other team, you can make a case for somebody else, can't you?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. And the Stars are a team that you can probably also wait similarly to the Oilers. Let's say they fall in game one to Seattle, or even split, like, then, you know, the series gets, like, if it goes long, like, you can probably get 7-1 on them, as long as they don't run away with the series later in the, in at least 7-1 later in the round. But yeah, they, like I said, they've proven me wrong, and they've got the goalie. And on the Devils there, like, I think it's, in a weird way, Carolina will be their trickiest matchup remaining. Cause when you look at Florida and the speed and their ability to go north, south, that the Devils can do that and as well. And Toronto, I think, will have trouble with pacey teams all of a sudden. You know, we used to think of the Leafs as a very fast team, and they've slowed things down a bit with the players they brought in, and New Jersey speed can really give them issues. And so if they get through Carolina, which, like I keep, you know, saying, like, I don't think it's as much of a foregone conclusion as the kind of narrative seems to be right now, just because, you know, we are prisoners of the moment, and recency bias is a real thing. And we just saw, like, a really, really impressive performance from this team. But if they do get through Carolina, yeah, they would become an absolute problem for either of the other two teams that come out of there with the way that they can run up and down the ice. So I think Carolina, in a, like I said, in a weird way, is just the best suited team to beat New Jersey. So it's funny how these matchups end up shaking out.
And Mike, I'm sure you would agree with me, watching the series between the Islanders and the Canes, like, I know we were both kind of like siding with the Islanders. We thought they were capable of something like that. The way that they were playing hockey in Raleigh, man, they almost won games one and two. Then they won game five. I don't know that Carolina has that, like, home dominance allure anymore, just because of all the injuries. And since we last talked, in addition to Pacioretty and Svechnikov not playing for the rest of the postseason, Teuvo Teravainen's status is in doubt as well. So, you know, the scoring has already dried up a little bit, right, since that Svechnikov trade, Nick. I have Svechnikov injury, I should say. And now, you know, the matters get a little worse here.
Not to mention the crease situation. Freddie Anderson does return, but we all know how volatile that position is in general, and volatile Freddie Anderson is. And that's the big thing for me going forward in that series. Do we see all four guys play in that series, whether it's the Devils or the Carolina Hurricanes? Just to wrap, I think if there's one thing I learned, guys, in the first round, expect the unexpected. Anybody can beat anybody. That's why I'm all in on Seattle. I'm all in on Florida, plus 1,100 for the Panthers, plus 1,800 for the Seattle Kraken. My answer is, why not? Like, I'm being honest with this. Like, we just saw, you know, everything hit the roof in the first round. Why not? Why can't there be a team that comes out of nowhere to win the cup, especially a team like Florida, right? Like, I think we're due for getting, and people look at the Boston Bruins and say, hey, we all projected this team to go far. But, like, the Panthers are not far removed from winning a President's Trophy last year, right? Like, I love that type of narrative where it always seems to be the year nobody expects it. That's when the team ends up winning. Like, it happened to Washington, to an extent Tampa. Like, I love building behind that narrative. And I think if there's one year to lean on a severe underdog, maybe it's this one, Leboff.
Yeah, it's played out that way. And we saw such a chalky postseason last year that it shouldn't be a surprise that things are kind of course correcting. And I mean, you can even go the past 2 years, really. I mean, the Islanders going to the conference final was a surprise, but the way that things kind of shook out with Tampa winning two straight cups when they were a favorite, like it's been chalky. And then the Avalanche were obviously a huge preseason favorite when they won. So seeing a team come from the clouds is interesting. So yeah, I mean, who knows? We'll see how these first few games shake out, but that's when I would, you know, I just wouldn't write a team off after a game one loss or something, a team like Florida or Seattle, then, you know, you can get a good number if they do fall behind. So that's something just to keep in mind here as we close up.
I think Florida has the star power to match, at least to an extent, what Toronto has going on offensively. And then again, if you see clutch performances from Bobrovsky and or Lyon, if they turn back to him, I mean, remember Lyon was the reason they got to the playoffs in the first place. And then Bobrovsky goes 3-1, even though he had a sub 900 save percentage. So I think Florida is able to mask some of those deficiencies on defense. And, you know, they might have a stronger team than they did last year when they had all those expectations. And, you know, maybe they were a little deeper, but this year they're getting the job done here. So I would side with Florida to continue their surprise story as opposed to Seattle. Do you guys feel the same way, Mike, just to draw that comparison with the two major upsets in the first round?
Yeah. I think Florida's they're both live. Like everybody's live here. It's crazy.
Parlay
like,
them together. Right?
Yeah. Go right ahead. But you know, just once again, thinking back to last year, like Colorado was such a huge favorite over Nashville and then just stomped them. Like that's not happening this year.
So great stuff, Mike. Follow Line Change. The podcast will continue for the rest of the postseason. Follow Nick's work, of course, at Daily Faceoff. I liked your article recently with the biggest upsets of all time. Or over the past, right, since 2000. Modern definitely day, go yeah. check that out. Yeah. Yeah, and Nick's work for the Leafs show, right? Tell everybody what you're doing out there, man, with the Leafs going on a run here.
Yeah, it's been good for business, that's for sure, called Leafs Morning Take. You can check it out at the Leafs Nation 401 on YouTube and just search Leafs Nation. You'll find us. We do a daily YouTube show. Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. It's always good times when a team is winning and it's good for business.
And also keep an eye on the fantasy Instagram and Twitter accounts. We have players to watch for almost every game and DFS picks and everything like that. Collaboration with some betting partners. So some good stuff going on this postseason. So for Nick Alberga, Michael Leboff, Pete Jensen saying so long. We'll talk to you again soon. NHL Fantasy on Ice delivered by Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL. Talk to you next time.